Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is February 6, 2017. It is a little after 2 p.m. on Monday, and we're convening as the board. We have a general discussion. We have an agenda item of goals.
Board goals.
Just board goals for today. So we have Commissioner DeYoung and myself. And we'll start off if you want. So I sent out an updated list or request for everybody to submit their goals to the liaisons. And do you have some? Do you want to go over some? How do you want to start, Commissioner DeYoung? Commissioner Martin?
I have some electronically and I have some other way. So let me see what would you grab the other ones.
I've got Tricia. The only one that I don't have is the sheriff's, but I think one of the things that he and I discussed on it was they've got some communication issues over there that he wants to upgrade, but I think we've already talked about that, and I don't know if that's even in budget yet.
Okay.
But and I don't have that written down. And over at County Veteran Service Officer,
yeah,
she's got 2.5 County Veteran Service workers, and she'd like to up that to 3.
Yeah, and she's got that state allocation, and I really don't know how that's going to come
out. I don't know how we fund
that. Yeah. Well, there was an initiative that was passed by the citizens to allocate a certain percentage of lottery dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is like the legislature was funding, say, at a 10% level of that request, say the state legislature's funding $10 million, and then the citizens just say, well, we want $10 million to come from the lottery. I don't think the state legislature's inclined to keep appropriating the same amount they did before.
Right.
So it's really hard to say, okay, if you're going to mandate that 10% of the lottery dollars or whatever goes to fund veterans.
They'll just take it from a different pot.
Exactly.
They'll say, okay, well, we'll take this one back because it looked good, and we'll move over from lottery, and you got your lottery dollars, but...
Theoretically, they were supposed to go together, and that's what the initiative was.
Net, there isn't is no gain.
It could be. So until she knows that from the passing of a budget at the state, we're going to just have to put in a placeholder for when we build the budget based on what they were thinking they were going to know conservatively, and then she can't fill that position until she has that appropriation.
And she's aware of that.
Great.
Next one is continue the office outreach program and her music.
Yeah.
Her music program is a good, I said, well, that's a good goal for you because that's achievable. She wants to, she's really passionate about that. She said that music program has really done well for the veterans.
Apparently it's doubled in size, or like there's a new group.
They're getting booked for stuff all over the place.
That's really
great. And that's exciting to the veterans, and it's also, I think it gives her a little, I think it's a pleasant change from the, because you can be overwhelmed with negativity if you're in the veterans side of it. So
definitely.
That's what she had, and she was pretty good about that. So.
Great. You have Public Works, who's submitted goals to everybody.
Public Works, I've got a pretty good list here.
Yeah.
And I've really got to sit down. I want to sit down. I didn't get the opportunity to sit down with Rob Brandis and go over this, have you prioritized these. I don't know if they're in any kind of order. He's got his federal and state funded projects, which he's already gotten started on some of these.
Uh-huh.
The newly added ones are Sand Creek Bridge Design and so on.
Didn't anticipate that.
We didn't anticipate that, but that's coming up. And then complete county-funded projects. He's got 7 large culvert replacement projects, and I'm assuming these are all in queue already. Sidewalk intro duo, cattle undercrossing removal, and backfill on Upper River Road, and Waters Creek slide repair. I'd say some of these are things that I don't know if they're goals. I would say they're more day-to-day operations.
Yeah, I think the project lists, and then there's the broader goals is probably like he's looking to upgrade his... they're looking to do an upgraded management software in, I know, community development, building and safety and planning, and they're looking to try to dovetail that maybe with the public works.
Right, public too. Works, I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Maybe that will speed up some of the road plan stuff and things of that sort.
So his, the way I see this is like, you know, the director of the program has some, but you can have some for the program too, and that might be yours, that they integrate better with the other departments that, you know, the one-stop shop, the people who come to public works are also going to planning.
And he's got some county transit. You know, we're getting in the master transit plan, transit master plan, finalize all open issues from the FTA triennial review.
That's a major.
You know, I think what we really, I'm waiting to see what the Volkswagen money does coming back through transportation.
Which one?
Volkswagen, that lawsuit for Volkswagen. Huh. They're supposed to be. I saw a blurb on it come across the other day, and it was, you know, that there might be some money coming through on that. I know that RV Act is kind of looking to that, and that may be some additional funding that we can do some stuff with.
That'd be cool.
But I'm going to assume that, just like everything else that comes from down to Portland, it'll stop in Portland, and by the time we get down to RV Act, there won't be a couple thousand bucks.
That's terrible, so.
Purchase one heavy-duty transit vehicle is one of the county transit that they want to do, and five is complete all anticipated plan stop improvements and route adjustment. I don't know exactly when we're going to get started on moving this thing out over here. I think it's 18. I think it's 18. So.
Seems like 18.
So that's out to next year, but I think we're pretty well settled on that, I think.
Great. Well, that sounds
like
good.
Selmac Dam, design complete, then transfer project to parks for construction. I think that was with, did, the parks lady, what's her name?
Sarah.
Did she, I think she talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's something the board is going to have to work out. And I was going to write it down, but it's on my list. We need to figure out, who's paying for this? Is it a public works project, or is it a parks project, or is it a combination of just general county? It doesn't fit into anybody's wheelhouse. It's just ours.
I can see both of them going like this.
Everybody wants to
do it, but nobody's going to really take ownership.
Yeah. We put public works in charge right now. That doesn't mean they're paying for it. And
no.
They have the wherewithal. They have the expertise in-house to facilitate. My opinion is that they facilitate the project from start to completion. Sarah is not a project manager to manage a public works project, so they may want to say, we're going to fund it, blah, 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 and then you, no. You're doing it from beginning to end. Do you pay for it? Maybe that's your contribution, is the staff time associated with it. And I've never done this before, but I would advocate that's the cost of the county. It's just a general fund appropriations. We don't fund stuff like that out of the general fund. If it's not public safety, it just doesn't get the money. But this one is like, this is a historic infrastructure that the parks didn't save for. It's outside of public works' wheelhouse, and we probably couldn't use those funds even if we wanted to. It doesn't qualify for gas tax dollars or something like that.
Is Lake Selmac anything other than recreational? I mean, is it used for irrigation or anything at all?
Is it ours?
It is, the whole thing.
Somebody said that we lease land from BLM?
We do a little, but not a lot.
Okay.
It was not constructed with a stormwater retention element. McMullen Creek, no. And there's, I don't see anybody but us irrigating out of it. So there's an irrigation line on the west side. Mm-hmm. I think that's ours.
Can we, I don't know if there's anything out there like this, but because we're right smack in the middle of wildland fire thing, can we? Is there something that we can go to, like the Oregon State Forestry or Wildland Fire Inc. or whatever, and say, you know what, we're continually keeping that full for fire?
It does. It is utilized in probably every year.
It's always a camp staging area.
You know, if there maybe would be a grant or something for helping us keep that thing full.
So exploring other opportunities, that sounds good. The main one is the Oregon Water Resources, and they've got a fair amount of lottery dollars that are allocated to their projects. I don't know how much this is actually going to be, and I don't expect us to pay for all of it, because
right.
the reason we're doing some of these comprehensive evaluations that kind of talk about every possible use is that it just bolsters our application with Oregon Water Resources to have those grant dollars. But there will be a local match component, and so I think the first thing is, like, what is our proposed budget, and we need to have an engineering, you know, of what needs to be done. It's just the overflow. If it were you or I on a piece of property, we'd get a pump truck down there with 20 yards of concrete, and we'd just reseal or chip it all out, because that's what's failing. It wasn't put in with any kind of metal infrastructure. There's no tie wire or, you know, rebar or anything that we can see in the overflow. The dam itself, I think, is pretty good. There's other issues. There's an overflow thing in the bottom that's plugged up. You know, they see one little thing and they freak out about it. So it's a longer conversation. Okay. My inclination is not to have Public Works or Parks be burdened with that.
Another one on Public Works is transportation system plan, and their consultants under a contract, and county road standards updated and adopted, complete GIS road and bridges layers, develop funding level projects for the MPO, the Act, and Public Works facility improvement. Steve.
Great. The large ones that I have, is that all for Public Works?
Mm-hmm.
The large ones I have are the Redwood Avenue, Allen Creek project. That needs to be hopefully put to bed. I did have the Selmac Lake Dam. We need an IGA with Grants Pass Irrigation District for storm drain runoff. I think ours is the easiest of the three that need to happen, but we still need it nonetheless. That's a constant conversation. There's also the element of the Kirby Landfill Reclamation Project, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or if they brought that up at the Cave Junction quarterly meeting, but the plan is to take, probably using solid waste dollars, to pay, and they've already approved this as a project. Cave Junction has solid waste that's accumulated for like 20 years of their sewer treatment facility that has been deemed appropriate to utilize on, we need to do an overlay. I think the Kirby Landfill is probably 15 to 20 acres. We're going to try to break it up into 5-acre increments, and it needs to be seeded with some, not trees, but low vegetation, manzanita, grass, something like that to retain the soils. And that's something, that's a really high project for me, for Cave Junction, and the landfill. It all needs to happen.
So I give an opportunity for solids that have been treated from the Cave Junction sewer. Mm-hmm. To be
applied,
awesome.
mixed into the soil up there, because the soil's terrible.
Yeah, and it's already contaminated soil, so it's not like we're going to make it worse.
Well, no, the soil is clean. It's got a barrier, so the whole thing is supposed to be encapsulated in a non-permeable barrier. We do spend about $40,000 a year on water quality monitoring. That might be every 2 years. It's decreased over time. When I came in, it was like 60.
How deep is the layer, the dirt layer on top?
It's a couple feet. Yeah, probably 5 feet. Yeah, there's definitely something to work with. It's just the soil quality is so poor, nothing grows on it. So this is going to...
And it's treated solid, so it's not like it's...
It is. It'll all be tested, and DEQ's in favor of it. We just need to get it moving, and I'm not sure...
And it'll help things grow.
Can we apply solids out there from the treatment plant?
Uh-huh.
Because I remember when we had that discussion across the pond, they said, oh, DEQ said, no, you can't do that anymore.
No, it's,
but I found out different from DEQ that you can.
You can. So that's one project. It's on the list. You don't have to write these down if you don't want to. They're on mine. Harbeck Road in South Middle. Oh, I think we actually did that. Maybe just phase two.
Yes, they updated some parking there or sidewalk curb.
I don't know what phase two means, but maybe that's the other side of Harbeck Road. And we may not do that, but if that's phase two, that means that we brought it up to city standards and we can turn it over to the city. I think that could be what that is. That's a small one. Efficiency performance review, that should be on his list, and we are doing that this year.
Whose are you representing?
These are Public Works.
Oh, so you're going over last year Public Works.
No, these are mine.
your goals for Public Works. Mm-hmm. Got it.
There's another one of parks zones. We've done a couple of these. I think they've been successful. So my goal was to do them. We did them at Tom Pierce, and we designated them as park zones so that park staff would have the ability to regulate. So people who are parking in no parking zones,
mm-hmm.
and we need to do that at a couple others. And Public Works leads the charge on that. But Enos Riffle is another one. I don't know if you know that bend. People park their boats. There's no more parking than at Enos Riffle, but people don't use it because they don't want to pay the $4 or $5 day use parking fee, and so they park alongside of the road, and it's not safe. It's you got trailers of boaters. It's a mess. So if we can expand the park zone to give the parks people the authority, otherwise you have to call a police officer, and he doesn't have time to write a citation for that or a warning or whatever. Anyway, the transit hub is on. Oh, yes.
On Honkers, if we acquire that from BLM, they have a parking fee down there, don't they, at Honkers?
They don't. Nope, there's no parking fee there. BLM doesn't charge one.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. The capacity, I used to know the number of capacity at that, but maybe it's...
It's significant.
It isn't small.
No.
It could be like 100 cars.
I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I asked him about that. I said, you have to pay at Hard Creek, and you pay to park, but you don't have to pay to use the ramp.
You don't have to pay to park, but you do have. You should have to pay to use the ramp. The ramp is ours. The parking lot is not ours. We don't enforce the using of the ramp to pay because there's no, what are we going to have somebody just stand there? But we can do it at a parking lot. A couple times a day, they just drive through and they see everybody's got their sticker or their envelope. That's easily and much easier to enforce than standing there all day while people come and go. Because once they go park, they're fine. There's no requirement. That's the challenge.
Okay.
The other one is just exploring the alternative fuels option for Public Works vehicles so that we are on a trajectory. I'd like to see us go to natural gas. I think that's the most, the least price volatile fuel that I think we could use.
So. CNG. Pat Fane this morning at that chamber gave a kind of a at our presentation,
uh-huh.
he's getting ready to pull the trigger on something really big out there.
Yeah.
And I think, how do I say this? Maybe we should let Pat and Avista make all the mistakes first and then see what they say.
They kind of already have. If you've gone to that, I don't want to say it's either Point Central Point, where they put in that substation for fueling, they learned a lot. If you talk to Steve Vincent.
He was there this morning also.
Yep. I chat with him. I think a lot of the bugs would kind of work. They're never going to be perfect, but...
But these are quite a substantial saving.
Huge.
Yeah.
And all of ours are convertible, or do we have to buy new vehicles?
Typically, it's diesel. A diesel rig is easily convertible to, or easier to convert to natural gas. I'd like to see, it's just a policy from the board that we first explore it, then say, yes, our priority is that all... diesel fueled, whatever.
Yeah.
I know that they're going, they're trash. All those big trucks.
I was interested. Pat didn't have a figure, but I was curious as if he had run any numbers for a return on investment.
People are doing
that. Because he's pretty deep into, he's over seven figures. He's into the $1 million range.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you've got to almost, in my mind, you'd have to calculate what the return is on investment is, and if it's within 4 or 5 years, jump on board.
Yeah.
And then plus, I'd like to see some information on for instance, if you went to propane. I had a van on propane one time. Mm-hmm. Virtually, you never change the spark plug good again because all the carbon that fouls everything comes through fuel.
Yeah.
Through liquid fuel.
Right.
So we need to I'd be interested. So I'm sure that Steve would have some facts and figures on that.
Definitely. Okay, that's what I had on Public Works. Those are listed in the thing that Lily has, if that's mine.
Yeah, someone gave it to me. I didn't know where it came from.
Well, I handed it out at the meeting we had. when we first started talking about goals.
Yes, I've got that over in my office. I should go get it.
That's why I keep sneaking out as I realize, oh, I need that. Oh, I
Isn't
need
it that. Tough?
Well, on some of these...
That's why my desk gets to be... There it is.
I think for me, too, is... one of the things I was talking to Wendy about earlier is I would almost like us to have a staff meeting on Mondays where we can look at the agenda for the week mm-hmm. and kind of have an idea of what do I need for that
right.
or who needs to cover or just sit down as us. And I'm finding that I have expectations of Wendy and Terry that maybe are not where they should be as far as I don't even know what their positions are. I only learned last week that Terry's position was a secretary position and Wendy's is different. So
Wendy's the manager, so the structure. And if you have office things that need whatever, they need to go directly to Wendy. Or if they're a change, if you have just a question, if they're a change, they need to come to the full board. I'm the liaison to this office as the chair. Anybody, whoever goes through this is the running point. But you can't change anything here unless, we say as a board. I don't change stuff. Changing the weekly of the executive meeting, I can't just do that. You guys have to do that.
Well, I'm finding that even with today's meeting, it just says goals. So what exactly is the expectation of what we're bringing? My goals for any department in the county or my goals for what I'm lead or the goals from our staff? So just even defining...
It does take practice in getting, we have so many meetings, but we did discuss this last week of having a meeting on goals after I mentioned that I sent out that reminder mm-hmm. that next week they should be finalized, that we'd bring them here, we'd talk about them, we'd bring them out of here, and that Wendy and I will put them together in a two-pronged list of just our goals, so full county goals,
okay.
and then we'll put together a list that'll kind of look like that one. We might even break it out if that's the way it kind of works out, because you were talking about projects into like broad department goals and then like your projects list. Like the dam is kind of a project.
Capital versus, yeah.
Exactly. And then we'll bring that back and you guys can review it like the liaison list and it'll change over time. And there's no requirement. Mm-hmm. If your expectation of this meeting is different, it's great.
Well, I think it's just learning it. So for one thing, I do have things that I'd like to see our office improve upon and or communicate about.
Yeah.
So when is the right time to do that without stepping
right
on
now.
Toes of Wendy and Terry and saying, I like them and I think they're great, so how do we, get there?
Right now.
One of
or you propose okay. it to her and she brings it.
Got it.
About a Thursday. But we haven't had... Linda used to, her predecessor, bring stuff every Thursday of those kinds of things. It's been brought to my attention that the board would like to see whatever, mm-hmm. the office open more or during this, or
mm-hmm.
where is the schedule delineating when people are going to be here, when they're not going to be here. I'd like to see that. Okay, yeah, we'll get that published somewhere, however it works best for you. It'll be outlined on your calendar that, Terry's out right now, or... I don't always know those things.
Yeah, it caught me off guard Friday that no one was available.
I didn't know that I knew that. I may have known that, but I didn't.
And today, I didn't know that no one was to be here. So from my background is if we have office hours posted, we have our office open.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're pulling our folks away for minutes or someone has a day off, how do we cover our office?
Right.
Which the public has an expectation that's open.
Yeah.
And so that kind of efficiencies of is it that we... pull someone from another department to cover, or do we have to hire another person?
We've been talking about that roving position for a while. It's just been the previous board's expectation that because we're down a person, it's whatever it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's just a sacrifice that the board has decided to make, that we're not open. And we haven't gotten to a place where we have someone within finance, legal, HR, that... Is that designated person by this office that when we're closed, they're doing their stuff from this office?
It's an interesting question. I think without actually putting a sign up, though, and say, we're next door or we're, that the public's expectation is because we still have it publicized that we're open. And I'm used to coming from an office where, as a manager, I would cover the front desk. It wasn't even the area I was manager of. but so I could allow people to go home on Christmas Eve, or I could, if they had
a
staff
meeting. We have
done
a little bit of that here, but it's probably a little bit different having the chief executive officer of a company sitting and
true.
Answering phones. And I've answered phones, done whatever it takes.
If we happen to be walking by and somebody comes up to the window, are we allowed to go up and say hello?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's your office. Yeah.
So one of the things that I think could be helpful is, as and especially now that we're a month into it, you can kind of see what revolving meetings occur. For whatever reason, they don't get on our calendar until the minutes are received or the next agenda. And we're having things double booked. In my opinion, if I know there's a revolving meeting, it should be on my calendar indefinitely,
So
long as I'm liaison, so I know what to prepare for.
That might be a growing pain of being a new commissioner, because I don't have that problem. All of mine are on there, reoccurring. I don't experience, but that could be, you're just 1 month into it, and you're still...
But we also don't have a list of by... committees we're supposed to go to or not. When do they meet? I know that LADPC meets on the first Thursday of the month. I know that LIPSIC meets on the second Thursday every other month. I know that airport meets here, but that list isn't here. So when Dan and I were asking about liaisons, that list isn't available. And when it's like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. It hasn't come up on the calendar yet. We should have that separately, that anyone from the public who calls and asks, when does this meeting meet? Well, this is what it normally does. Now, they might change it in the agenda in a minute, but that to me...
I don't think that's that hard to determine. And
no.
It's either in somebody's head or they know. I don't know. But we'll get that.
But right now it's happening where things will show up on my calendar the day of.
Really?
Or a day before.
Okay.
That are recurring meetings.
They should be populated on your calendar at 1 month, everything that's reoccurring that's... happened once before or what have you?
Yeah.
It's on there.
Whether it's happened to us before or not, yes, it might need to be populated, but we know what we're already liaison to. Mm-hmm. We know which meetings are recurring.
Sure.
But without having that list to go through the master list of whose are these, I don't like being surprised.
No, absolutely not.
And that's what's happening, and then it means that we're missing this or not being at that because things are double booked.
You can't plan, and that's not right.
And that's what I'm getting at is just having a master list of this is when that one meets that one. Most of them are recurring.
Well, the office should definitely populate every meeting that's on that. It's my expectation that even if we had to call, make sure they're all on there.
Yeah.
Whether you've been noticed or not, because RVCOG doesn't know that Dan's the liaison yet. That's not up to them. Or it should be that... And I didn't communicate that to the office, so that'll be something that we definitely need to do.
I just think in that way...
From a planning standpoint, it'd be really helpful.
And it's not fair to them that they don't know my expectations, and I don't want to be frustrated with them that it's not meeting an expectation when they didn't know the expectation.
And I didn't convey it, and I should have. That's probably my
fault. But even, I mean, for me, the idea of having a meeting at the beginning of the week versus the end of the week, where we can, as a group, sit down and say, what this week have coming up?
Right.
I think that would be beneficial.
I agree. I think Mondays are somewhat challenging, so doing that on a Thursday afternoon when we have that staff review, I like that idea, but you're going into the weekend and you're going to have to travel or whatever.
But we had, this general discussion Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
What about that at the beginning of the week versus...
Sure. It's just there's a couple of Mondays that I'm not here.
Yeah.
AOC is the one challenging one. It seems like there's something else. But I'm all for putting it on there. If we can't get to it, we can't get to it. But at least we tried.
Well, try it, see what works.
Exactly.
There's never a problem with saying, okay, we can't do it this time. But at least trying and addressing things by Thursday. Like, for instance, I learned that AOC, Housing and Resilient Counties, leadership wanted to meet prior to the legislative governance committee on Mondays. Well, Tuesdays isn't meeting that need, so that's why they both moved to Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how important is it that we take part in that? Do I go up on Thursday night to be at those meetings Friday morning, and then because I was going to come Monday, I go hang out with my sister for the weekend just to make sure I do both? because otherwise it would be going up, coming back, going up, coming back. Oh, no, wait, County College is that way too, going up and coming back three times a week. I don't want to make that call without talking to you guys about priorities for this county of what we are represented at. And
those are priorities, but I would imagine there are other geographically predisposed counties that could go.
Yeah.
And
that won't happen every.
But they're all the ones that have the big cities.
There are Fridays. There's two committee meetings that are going to meet regularly. It's health.
Housing. And resilient counties, which resilient counties is one of the things we've talked about as being one of our top goals.
Right.
So to me, that would be one that we would maybe want to be at the table with. So I will, this Friday, I will attend by phone and try to make that work. The first 2 months, I've tried to do it by phone, and I have found it is not.
It's pretty challenging.
You can't hear what's going on. You don't get a chance to say that. But this is going to be their ongoing schedule. And this Friday, to me, is more important because they're still trying to get all this stuff to the legislators. So right now would be the time to go in person.
I agree.
But again, if I wait till Thursday afternoon to tell you guys, hey, this is why it changed, that's not efficient for the week's planning to know what the rest of the board thinks is appropriate representation.
Okay.
And so for me, having an opportunity earlier in the week to say, can I get your feedback on what you guys think?
Yeah, I think we need to err on the side of having more general discussions, and that's the exact kind of stuff that we need to bring that you didn't even know about. And that's some reason why I've wanted as many as possible, so that if stuff comes up, you don't have to wait till Thursday to talk about it.
Yeah.
I do want to utilize Councillor Hicks' time if possible as efficiently. I asked him to come in. I think this could have been an expectation to have this presented on Tuesday, but I think we are, for the first time, no, certainly not the last, we're ahead of the curve on this. I think Councillor Hicks worked really hard on putting together the pretty specific, complicated elements of the statement, the title, the order.
This is about title and
my
first statement.
That's what it is. Yes.
So let's go into that.
And the resolution. All right. I guess we have just one copy that I've brought with me, and so we'll make more copies.
I think we should do that.
Discussion. Okay. Yeah. The subject that's supposed to be on the agenda, I think, for Wednesday afternoon. Does that sound right, Wendy?
Yeah.
Okay. So that had been my kind of target date for rolling this out formally.
Yeah.
And this would have gone out to the public at least 24 hours in advance of that, and still will, to meet the public meetings requirements. Anyway, we did convene a small working group. I've also vetted it internally with other members of the staff. And so the persons who worked on this document thus far include Commissioner Hare, the sheriff, Arthur O'Hare, Jim Goodwin has reviewed it and approved, the members of my staff, and also the district attorney have by this point all vetted the document. The district attorney also approves of the document in this form, which isn't to say that this is something you have to approve of rotely and you can do whatever you want to this thing. This is
right.
A moment. Now that it's gone through all that, now it gets to you because you are the ones who are signing this in the end and presenting it to the voters. It is signed Board of County Commissioners. So this is you all going on the bottom.
I had two people approach me. One of them said, split out the sheriff and the jail and split out juvenile justice. Like 9 cents for juvenile correction and 84 cents for the sheriff. About that one. And then also Kate Lasky with go in September, don't go in May.
Thank you.
I guess I wouldn't change the language or anything. I don't know. I don't know what the sheriff had to say or if that was brought up to the sheriff. If he agrees with it, doesn't agree with it, if you agree with it, doesn't agree with it. I don't know. Those are two things. Like I said, that was two different concepts that were placed in front of me. Both of them said, you know, if you want to win this thing, of course everybody's got their idea what it's gonna take to win it. So ultimately I think those are things we probably ought to discuss.
Maybe taking them in reverse. Well, actually, starting with the sheriff, certainly I'm not his spokesman.
Well, that's where I'm not.
Yeah. I think his public statements have reflected his calculation is that it would be 84 cents. He would need 84 cents of worth of levy in order to keep the jail, and it's or in order to get the jail to the level that he's targeting here.
Yeah.
That's been his public position on that.
And also, he wanted us in November, so I don't think the May thing isn't something he cares about as much. But the key to the November was.
Well, I want to avoid November if we can.
No. I know it was the putting off the collection of the taxes till the following year. But if September, a special election September, when is the tax collection?
Yeah, the tax would be effectively backdated to July 1st, and the collection would remain in November, and that's when the bills go out.
So it'd be the same as May, except it'd be extra cost.
The reason I'd stay away from November is public safety is coming on in November.
That's why I said September.
Well, you said November, and then you said September would be a special election. It would be a standalone.
Correct. So you said two things. The first one you said was separating juvenile and
as two ballots.
Adults. And the second one was that it was presented to do September.
Right.
And you said you didn't know what the sheriff thought, and I said originally the sheriff asked for November.
Okay.
But we said no because of the tax question wouldn't be till 18. So that's why we're bringing back.
I would say
when
no
is September?
It's going to be with public safety.
So that's why November was already off. So now we're looking at May or September as an option.
To frame it, yeah.
But that can both be the same tax question. But with September, there's a $30,000 bill that goes with putting out a special election at that time.
And to frame that just a little bit more, maybe a couple points that are worth adding to the discussion. One, I mean, you basically are going to need to come up with two budgets in this upcoming budget cycle if you do decide to go in September. And so that's just something the board should be aware of. That you basically need to.
September gets one budget because you have to have a balanced budget approved in June.
So your budget would document and remain the same, but
May,
you can't budget for something you don't have.
May, we have two budgets. A May election, we do provide for two budgets, and but it's pretty specific to just impacting ISF and whatever's on the ballot, and you do it without the revenue, and then you do it with the levy passing. Well, that's exactly what we did in 2013. But if you're doing something with a revenue stream expecting it in September past the time of when your budget is due,
have to amend your budget after.
You just write a new budget. If it passes in September, we don't produce a budget in June. That's different. My recommendation is that the challenge is now, and I would rather leave the option open if we feel so inclined to do a September, if we needed to, if there was some refinement to the May proposal that was necessary. But I can't endorse the idea that we would just give up an opportunity that is the most cost-effective way of getting to the voters. The timeliness of it is that we're developing the budget, and it could be implemented and started tomorrow, very, very soon, as soon as the election passed, with the revenue expectation of it being generated in November. I don't control everything else. Who else wants to go out when they want to go out? All we do is control when we want to venture out. And so,
well, I think, like I said, I think there's pro and con on all of it.
Definitely.
You know, the pro is that we have four more months to gain trust and so on and so forth for Sheriff Daniels and, you know, Lily and myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to go out there, and we have more time to convince the public type of a thing, and we all by ourselves on that ballot. Another thing that Kate Lasky said is she's, you know, if you guys go in September, she's a real proponent of September because she doesn't want to compete. She doesn't want too many things on one ballot. She says, you know, if you guys pick September, she says, my whole library board, that whole library group will definitely back your proposal. Not that they wouldn't anyway, but they would actively get involved in it. So I'm just looking at ways to move the needle, or if we can move the needle, and so on and so forth.
I you have to decide that today. I don't think so.
I mean, that's my question. I think if we take care of this and we turn it in by the 15th,
yeah,
does that lock us into May's ballot?
No, actually, you have a little bit of time after that. I can't tell you off the top of my head what that date is, but you can back out shortly thereafter through formal action, rescinding the resolution.
I mean, could you back out of the May and go into September? Just say, oh, we're going to do September.
You have 2 weeks to a month or something like that. You can get out, but you can't change it. You can't do anything different after the 15th. So we've got some time. I think we proceed, in my opinion. So we're going to do something on the 15th, because even at that, we can always, if we needed to, change it out.
But in the meantime, we'll ask
Trish about.
If we get the language down and the explanatory statement and the question and all of that finalized by the 15th, we're basically saying we're going to put something on the ballot, but we don't know exactly when, or no. We have to declare the May.
You'll be declaring it for May. And then if you choose to, you can pull out in 2-3 weeks. It might be up until the March 16th of when everybody else has their deadline.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. And then that's kind of the
And then
the
that's the drop dead date.
Yeah, then we wouldn't have control over it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't dictate anything of September. That's totally different.
That's a different time frame.
Yeah. I mean, we pulled off the Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel mm-hmm. one, and that was the last minute. And it was like coming down to when she was sending it to the printer.
That was like a month.
And that was like a month before the election.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was a court order. The board's discretion to ask for something to be removed is a different timeline, I would imagine, than what the courts is allowed to do based on printing.
Trish has gone to
ours is a date.
So maybe when she gets back, we can go to that question.
Ours is going to be a date. It's not like when they send it to the printer. That's not what she's going to have. She's going to have a deadline.
Okay. Fine.
And my recommendation is not to split the two. I understand the rationale fiscally or politically. I've thought from my position, and I don't think we do provide for 84 cents going to one and 9 cents going to the other. It's just this is 93 cents to accommodate both of these, and I think we can. But
well, it makes perfect good sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, but I come out of these marble halls, and the people out there, maybe they're looking at it different. That's why, you know, we are only four votes, five.
Yeah.
With Wendy, we're only five votes. And of course, okay, 100%. Gosh, how do you hit that out of the park? But that isn't what, you know, we have to listen to what, you know, when we get feedback from outside this building and we choose to just ignore it, you know, that's not good either.
No.
So I want everything, as much information as we can get, to be on the table before we make that final decision. Because I agree with you. I say, hey, put her on there because we understand. I understand it. You understand it. But there's a whole bunch of people out there that don't.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even Mark Seligman, when I had a conversation with him the other day, you know, 94 cents, it's not bad. You know, I suggest, you know, I'm not asking you to back it. I'm asking you to back off. So, you know, I'm really serious. I think we do need to have a sit down in this very room and with the naysayers and get all the naysayers together in here and have our staff in here and say, okay, Mr. Hunker, what's your concern here? Well, I don't think they're doing this one. So, you know, Arthur, what do you say to that? And let's just get it out in the open. So that everybody fully understands it, because I mean, there's stuff flying around.
I totally endorse the idea of you doing that, mm-hmm. facilitating it, or what,
I'm
know, getting organizing it, and soon.
Yeah, I asked Mark. I said, you know, would you attend? Did I get to come in? I said, yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
I can't make heads or tails. I'm not going to be a libertarian. I understand you come from, but I just need to know. Is there something out there that you can put your arms around, just like the text amendment?
Yes.
They're not against all of them, but because we put them all out at once, they're against all of them, because there's two or three that they don't care for. Let's weed those out and be done with.
Yes.
If we could do the same thing and get half part of them on our side, hold out that hand and say, you know what, come on in here. We're going to sit down. We're going to invite all of you to sit here and ask fire questions to legal, to chairman. I'll be glad to put together. I'll give some kind of an itinerary. You see if you like it. See if the board says, yeah, let's move forward. I'll be glad to.
Well, I'll dedicate a couple hours to it. I mean, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take every bit of that.
I would suggest passage realistically, based on history, has three distinct obstacles that have to be taken in turn. And the first one really is, frankly, the proponents. And if they're sitting in the room, I would say that this is what I have now. You know, they mean well, and they resort typically to a committee process, and that tends not to serve the interests that they're trying to advance effectively. So the proponents first, I think, are somebody you need to consider to be an essential part of the process and almost as much of an obstacle, frankly, as the opponents who you're referencing now. To the extent that the opponents get credited with tanking these things, the proponents, on the other hand, have failed to address the third obstacle or the third challenge in the process, which is the taxpayers themselves. And, you know, if your proponents are not doing anything to actually persuade the taxpayers themselves, then the levy will not prevail.
And I would agree, but it's not taxpayers. It's voters.
The voters.
Not everybody who's voting are taxpayers. And it's really important that we address this. I've always wanted to address this. It's not just taxpayers, but it's voters. And then the real, where the rubber meets the road are the taxpayers that are voters. And that's where in 2013, the previous board endorsed sending out cards to routine voters, explaining to them exactly what it's going to do to their taxes. I can't do it to the people who are not property owners that are registered voters. I guess I could. You do it to everybody, but it's really, I think, helpful information that they don't get the rhetoric that this is going to triple or double my taxes. No, this is going to increase your taxes by 120% of your county's tax rate. That's what it's going to do. And to John Q. Public, my tax bill is going to be impacted by this specific number from the assessor's office. Not from our office, not from anyone else's. The woman who levies the tax is going to tell you exactly what it's going to be, the impact of this. And I think that pays dividends to dispelling the rhetoric out there that really is a challenge for us to overcome. You know,
these people have they have an audience. And if we can satisfy part of their, I don't even know what to call it.
Concerns.
Their concerns. If we can get them in a room, first off, you're going to make it feel like, hey, you really want to hear what I have to say? Three or four comments after today's meeting over there.
Yep.
And, you know, comments, gosh, we like the way you guys are going. Even Mark Sellinger, because, you know, Peter says he can get behind some of these amendments.
Yep.
Those are the ones I want to get fired off right away while Peter's hopped the trot.
Right.
But that's the thing. If we don't really get them in the room and get them on our side, a little bit, not on our side, just not campaigning actively against them.
And honestly, in my opinion, Dan, I think it's a great idea. It needs to be done before we vote on this on the 15th.
Yes.
I know that that
I'm in favor.
So you've got some work to do to get them in the room at a general discussion. ASAP, I think it's going to pay.
Do you want us all there?
Yeah.
Then let's do it.
I think the idea is that they can't necessarily, in good conscience, walk out of here and say, I didn't have an opportunity to voice my concerns. And then when they're out there saying stuff, it's like, now, Mark, don't you remember that meeting we had when we told you where the ISF money is going to go? It's not going to go to the board's office.
Yeah.
So you're spelling stuff out there that is not true, and you know it.
Now,
if that were the case,
did anybody calculate taking commissioner salaries out of the ISF, and what does that leave us? Does that leave us 9 or 8.5, or what does it do?
We won't know that number quite yet, because there'll be adjustments in each of the HR's finance.
And you were looking at the ISF being adjusted separately, mm-hmm. not related to the levy.
It's not delineated in here, but it is related.
Okay, but because they did list each of the ISF funds that it would go to, and I noticed Board of Commissioners is left out.
We are. Mm-hmm. So the board talked about this last week, and mm-hmm. I think it's a great suggestion.
I do too. First off, they'd say, when they go, oh, well, what are you going to do about it? Just say, you know what, we're going to pull ourselves out of it.
We don't get a dime.
We're not telling them where we're going to go, but we're going to pull ourselves out of that.
We don't get a dime of this money.
No.
And I think that's what the people have wanted
to
hear. You're
just out of your own pocket.
Yep. That it's going to come right back to us.
Fantastic idea. Well, if we do that, because I'm going to be gone this 9th and 10th, and then we go to County College 16th and 17th.
Well, and we have AOC the 13th.
So we're talking next week. And I think I'll get you. Before I leave, I'll get a short list of who I think needs to be on there, and then you add or subtract from it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, you know, get it to the board and get it to you. And
so we're here when we would do that meeting.
Huh?
No, you're pointing it. You're pointing it to today is the 6th.
I know, so...
So I'm talking 13th, 14th, or 15th, because we're going to be gone the 16th.
So the 14th is the only day that all three of us are here.
Well, then let's see what we can do.
You're here the 14th, correct?
I believe so.
The 14th and 15th, but the 15th is when we submit. So the 14th is the last day to get input changes.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the 15th having that.
No, that's not.
It's going to be lined up by then.
No, we don't want to have it, you know, because in case we have to respond to something, which I don't think
we need time to sell it.
We're not here. I think we're here to sell the concept and answer questions about the concept, not change.
And I think there's been a considerable amount that we have listened to and made adjustments on.
And the example is we've heard you, and we think
we're trying to thread this needle of what people are concerned about and removing those concerns. Excuses as to why they don't support it. The ISF, okay? We will have an ISF. There isn't anything that's coming out of here that doesn't have it.
Be upfront.
But you don't like the board being a beneficiary of that. We're going to take you out. A dollar is a threshold that every opponent that I've heard, I could get behind this if you could get under a dollar. We got under a dollar. I don't want you doing something for patrols because I already paid for that in the city. Took patrols out of it. You know, you can go down the list, which I've already made one. And
Mark asked me the other day, he said, well, you know, the Valley wants patrols. And I said, if the sheriff can take, if we get his jail funded for him, the money he has to put into the jail and keep it afloat, will automatically move over and he'll be able to increase it.
No point in funding more patrols if you don't have anywhere to put them.
If you don't put them.
Breaking it up. Into
exactly.
Fund that.
It's going to work, but I just want him to be able to take back something to Illinois Valley because they're really concerned about that.
Yeah.
I tried to read Dan Mancuso when we were having the discussion.
Yeah.
And even though they're kind of raised his heck about. And it was because the sheriff said, well, I'm not going to do anything for patrol. But in essence, it will because he'll have money to move over to patrol. But he's not dedicating it. He's not saying, I'm going to have 6 new cops and I'm going to have new cars.
And that's because
and that's okay.
It's not automatic that the money that is left is still going to the sheriff's office. That is us as a board to commit to. Yeah.
But I think we said
that we're not playing a shell game. That we would commit to funding a sheriff's office patrol if this is funded. And that is one of those things that...
I think we said that the other day, because I think Sheriff asked that.
I agree with your name for...
If he continued to be funded out of the general fund.
You want to do law enforcement?
No, in the future.
Oh.
We always refer to these things in two different ways. It's the criminal justice system, which is a brand that I don't think we inherited, we did not endorse. And then there's public safety in the city. It came to me the other day, what we're looking at doing is a law enforcement system. Criminal justice, in my mind, the connotation for most people I talk to is, you're looking out for the best interest in a legal system that provides for the criminal. No. I want a law enforcement system that takes care and enforces the law.
Can this be edited to have that?
I don't know that we reference the criminal justice system in here, do we?
I don't think we do, actually.
I don't think we do.
Yeah.
If we ever did, though, I would want it branded as the law enforcement system
I agree,
as opposed to the criminal justice. Yeah. But trying to kind of come up with that, what do we call it?
Because it is, because it will move. Those general fund dollars, we'll be able to improve.
Keep them in the law enforcement system.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, very good idea. Good point.
In terms of, presenting this, the message, I would suggest that in this case you're in a unique posture as these levies go because no actually means loss. No equals loss. People, if the no vote is what comes back, that means there'll be a loss to the county of access to the jail for unincorporated residents and of post-conviction incarceration for people who live in the city. So county will lose its access to the jail, is what I'm calling it.
Pretty much.
No equals loss in this election, not the other way around.
So we're not allowed to advocate, but those statements are made in here pretty clearly that it isn't going to be status quo. We don't have the ability to maintain it.
It won't stay the same. You will lose something.
This is an ability to...
Okay. Things will stay the same to the extent they ever go back.
I haven't read this yet, but I...
Well, the wording's actually really good. The explanatory statement.
I would encourage you to take a minute or two, because I think after this meeting and a final, we're going to... It'll be a public document. So.
My question under measure funding. I know that we've said that we haven't dedicated how much will go to the sheriff, how much will go to the other. But by putting this proceeds, the measure would increase the jail capacity to 185. That's one thing. I like that we're naming a goal that we're trying to fund. But does that hurt us that that's defining how the money will be spent?
That's a really good question. And so the way that I've had this conversation with both Arthur and Sheriff Daniels is he's going to have a capacity within the margin of whether or not he actually gets his 84. He'll have to have a staffing level that will accommodate the pods to be able to intake most anybody. There still may be the element, there may always be the element of the matrix system that says, these are the people that I'm able to retain. These are the people that the system is actually accommodating on a less, you don't need to be incarcerated to wait your court date or what have you. You're not a flight risk. You're not a risk necessary to the community, those kinds of things. And so even though he's able to intake and we can put a capacity date at 185, which the board actually sets, that doesn't mean that he's always incarcerating right up to 185 people. Does that make sense?
He has the capacity.
He has the capacity to do that.
He will increase the capacity to 185.
Okay, I just...
Does that make sense? You probably get it better than...
It does. And honestly...
Even at 160, he doesn't keep 160 or 130 in there all the time. There's an ability to matrix people out. But everybody who needs to be there...
Correct.
Has the ability to be there.
But we're at least defining the goal. 185
right.
is our cap. We're establishing the new cap. I told the sheriff the day before we had our meeting the other day, I said, I want to know exactly what goal we're actually trying to accomplish. And by saying that every person arrested in our county will go through intake, that is a goal. By saying 185 beds, that is a goal. And so that people know exactly what they're getting from that. And are we still able to fund all 14 beds of juvenile detention? One word that I think needs to be adjusted is on the title of the bottom. It says juvenile justice.
Oh, okay.
Where, and I am concerned that...
Yeah, I need to adjust that. Hitting a footer.
It's just a footer, yeah.
It is a footer, but if it's provided to somebody else,
sure.
Does the footer need to say detention versus...
It does.
Do you want to change detention to justice?
No, it says justice. It needs to be detention. Because if it was justice, that covers the shelter. Here.
It's on the footer.
Okay, so the other piece is, does the juvenile... Okay, the second paragraph under present funding.
Yes.
We go into what the juvenile department provides our youth.
Yes.
Is that giving a misleading representation that that is what will be provided with the justice juvenile detention funding?
Keep going.
So, the capacity is 14. It's currently closed. Juvenile provides services to any youth having contact. Crime prevention, crime accountability, gang intervention, graffiti, substance abuse, family counseling, lodging for runaways, youth suicide. Is that what we're trying to provide? Because that's juvenile justice, not detention.
Yes.
Or are all of those things provided in the detention center? Are we providing counseling to the kids while in the detention center?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's part of it.
Well, and that's why I want to make sure we're asking.
Comprehensive what we do in detention.
Yeah.
Okay. And granted, they've been closed for a while, and so it's one of those things that we provide some of those services currently.
Yeah.
But it's not detention.
It isn't, and it's part and parcel. I mean, you know, kids get it pretty quick.
Yeah.
That if there's no stick being held above their head, then they're going to run roughshod over whoever's trying to get them to fix their act. Anyway, yeah, Goodwin reviewed that. He liked it. But definitely we want to veer as far away from anything even suggesting misleading as possible.
Well, and if we are providing funding for jail of juvenile and adult people, do we want to include what all the juvenile department does? Because the juvenile department does lots of stuff, but does juvenile detention provide this, and that? In the juvenile detention, do we have lodge runaways?
Yes.
So that tells me we can't right now. So that this is saying what they do, but it's closed. So do they still do it? So that paragraph to me is kind of misleading a little.
I hear where you're going on this, and I think you make a really good point of saying it's currently closed. We provide for three contract beds, or alluding to the fact that we don't do this stuff. It isn't the we don't have the capacity to do most of this stuff. If it does,
with funding, we will provide.
Yeah, with the passage of this measure.
Is there any reason why we have the whole sentence in there, the 1999 construction bond to build the Josephine County? That's just giving them information.
It is. It's supposed to. It's that talking point of how this is not a new impact of 93 cents on your taxes. It is for 1 year, but really it's a new impact of 80 cents to your taxes.
Is anybody out there in the real world going to be able to figure that out on their own? I don't think so.
No. The other element is the fact that you're just getting ready to pay it off, and the likelihood that we're going to have to close it is really soon. You just paid off your car, and you can't afford the gas. So you're going to have to park
it. But it's just a statement. It doesn't really, I don't know. It just kind of sticks out to me like...
It does make sense that it's kind of disconnected. In order to connect it, you'd probably have to have a leading argumentative sentence. And that's where we can explore something, but we don't want to go too far.
It just seems awkward to me. This capacity in Oakdale is 260 and the current revenue limit in Oakdale is 130 and it just makes a statement. The 13 cents, but it does not say that in 2000, a lot of people don't understand what sunsets is, and just say in 2017 this 13 cents will come off of your property tax assessed value.
This whole process is about is figuring out what
make it simple can, because when you say the Josephine County Adult Jail sunsets at NAO, that means.
Does that mean you close this paragraph?
When the bond stops, do you close it?
No, I know, but
they're asking this question.
Yeah.
What is that?
So I would say, put it into really, really simple terms that says that 13 cents will then come off of your cost per thousand.
We may circulate it like this, but that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to stay, and we might hear of suggestions about or questions.
It's a concern of mine. That's your business.
We know what we want to say, but you're absolutely right. Reflecting what the public is going to hear by that.
The public's going to see because there's a lot of stuff that even Lily and I, coming from 7 years of this stuff, and her, especially because she eats, sleeps, and drinks it every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And I don't. I'm just from the regular walking down the street. You ask me what this means, they go, I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people don't even know they pay 13 cents. Okay. They don't know what a jail bottle. Sure. I don't understand what that. I don't hear 99. What do I care?
Good.
So going back to present funding to June 30, 2017. So that's kind of saying where we are right now. So with the second paragraph of the juvenile saying what we provide, it insinuates we're providing that right now. Because it's under the title of present.
We are providing that right now.
What do we do for runaways right now?
Good point. Okay, we have the capacity to provide the status offenders. I guess that's a better way of saying it. But I don't think he actually does lodge them.
Runaways right now, I don't think they even get hooked up.
Probably not.
They used to be. And then the parents, they'd get a hold of the parents and you'd have to track them down.
Yeah.
So I think if we're going to have it under this paragraph, of what the present funding to June 30th, it needs to show what's...
Okay.
I don't know. This is great of what will we do, but it doesn't belong under present funding to June 30th.
Second paragraph on present funding, instead of the physical capacity, the designed capacity of the juvenile detention center 14 years, meaning that's what it's designed for. This physical capacity, I don't care about that, but it's designed for 14 years. it presently, and then maybe go on to say that presently we have three.
The same wording as here, though, so it's keeping the consistency, so it's showing the same thing.
Mm.
Okay, and you can do the same thing up there. The design capacity for the adult jail is 260 inmates. That's what it was designed to house. That's what it should house. That's what it could have. But its physical capacity, you know, I miss that.
And I think people would be the opposite. And one of the things that came up to me at the mining group on, I went to Gleason Walden Mining District meeting Friday night. I had people come up to me afterwards and say, you understand all the legalese? We don't. It has
exactly.
You did good about making it as plain and then going plainer. And to me, design, I don't know.
Why don't we just strike the word entirely? We don't need design.
Because physical capacity.
Just capacity.
The capacity.
Just capacity.
Oh. I was thinking about that. I think we started off with capacity, and I thought, well, that people might get a little bit turned around about that because they're thinking, well, capacity means how many he can actually hold. So if we say the capacity of the jail is 260, they may think that means that's how many he can actually hold.
But if you just say the capacity of adult jail, they're not taking into consideration staffing.
But the next line does. The current revenue limits limited to the population of 130.
Okay. I still like design capacity myself, but that's just me. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing with you.
No, the physical capacity of the jail to me sounds awkward.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I'm walking down the street. It just sounds awkward.
Maybe with the two sentences together, it wouldn't be confusing then. To say just the capacity of the adult jail is 260 inmates. Current revenue limits the adult jail population of 130 inmates.
The jail was built for 260 inmates. how plain can we make it? Yeah.
The design capacity says that it can accept 260.
I don't mind substituting physical for design.
Design?
I don't know that it needs to be there at all, but design is fine.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if either are simple enough.
That's fine.
I just delete it all together and say the capacity.
Is that objectionable?
What's that?
Deleting the word designed or physical,
yeah,
just saying the capacity
of the jail.
The adult jail has room for 260 inmates.
Because then you do, and then what you say is currently
I think the two sentences.
Well, whatever you do in the first sentence, the juvenile 62. One has to match
62.
And then the juvenile one has to match
62.
That's technically what I was
thinking. Yeah, 262 is what I was thinking too.
It's not necessary. The rules structuring adult corrections have changed dramatically in the last 20 years, so what they could do design-wise 20 years ago, they may not be able to do today.
Okay.
Do we need something in the second paragraph of when we outlined the juvenile detention center? Didn't you say we spend money on three that we have to send to Douglas County? Of course, we're going to run out of words in there if we do.
Well, we just saved two, so we're down to 482. 483, 41.
Well, if you change the 99 construction bond thing to all that, you know, because like I said, I don't see any relevancy there. Or you can say that a construction bond is paid off. Paid off or reaches maturity. Maturity, they probably wouldn't understand.
Not paid off till 18.
Is paid off.
So you'd have to change 17.
Okay.
If it's paid
17
off.
17 is the important number.
Yeah, the 17 is making a thing now.
We do pay it off in 17 after the collections of the taxes in November. We're not going to wait till June to pay it off. We'll pay it off as soon as we have the money. And we do the collections, and we'll reach 93% collection rate by the end of the year. It's usually probably closer to 97 by February. The following June, it's really close to 100. So we will pay it off this year. That's why we put in 2017.
You might save some words there. That 13th sentence to come off of it.
Okay. Yeah,
that works.
We're gonna tweak on this for the next week. So I like your catch, Commissioner Morgan, about the present funding and articulating that in the juvenile detention, and then breaking that out about what the measure would do, and that might change some wording if we're talking about what the capacity is going to be down here.
We do fund three juvenile spaces, but they're not here. We're having to rent spaces out because we don't have money to run our space.
Okay.
Good point. I think we can ruminate on this for a little while, and you can bring your suggestions straight to Councillor Hicks.
I don't want to give anybody any reason to say, oh, you weren't truthful. Oh, you didn't, you know, and it's like, okay, our intention is to be transparent, honest, clear, goal-minded, and so I just don't, I want to take away any opportunities of unintentional consequences.
Yep. It's just understanding where the pitfalls are. I won't endorse the idea that we're going to delineate 84 cents goes to it and then, you know, 9 cents goes the other way. That's not the way you budget. These are the programs for incarceration, for kids, all the way through adults.
For law enforcement.
For law enforcement.
Law enforcement. The law enforcement side, these are things we need for adequate law enforcement.
Right. I'm not so sure we don't try to integrate law enforcement in here.
You know, because then we say, these are what we need.
I was racking my brain about what are we trying to accomplish with all of these systems. Mm-hmm. It's not criminal justice, it's law enforcement.
Law
the whole thing comes down to enforcing the law.
Is there anything that says we can't use that term, law enforcement?
No. Mark, it's Sullivan.
It's how we're branding that system.
Yes, that wasn't meant for the
and that's what I meant to.
I think law enforcement encapsulates it really on kind of a broad. It gets your arms around all of it, so that we really. And if you say, well, what about juvenile? That's in the law enforcement that portion.
It is.
What about the jail? That's law enforcement. What about and that way you can work within it. You can work within it when you do get it, and you say, I'm going to tweak it over here. You're still within the bounds of law enforcement.
Every parent knows that if you continue to tell your kid there'll be a consequence and you never get the consequence, then why follow the rules? You have to provide the boundaries where the consequence exists if you want the behavior to be believed, the change, you know, so.
Yep, that's just the way my mom and dad put it to me, by golly. Don't drink and drive. Yes, sir. Well, I wouldn't take them.
Okay. Well.
Why? Because it hurts. Told me how bad it hurts, I probably wouldn't have done it. Danny?
I think we're at a really good place. I think we need to probably step back and do our goal discussion in a little after bringing some stuff together. I don't have all of mine done in my packet.
I haven't heard back from DA or juvenile.
Review them.
I've got
counselor Hicks.
I've got three pages, and I think I need some prioritization.
Thank you. Well, I gave you mine. I sent you mine in.
He did, didn't he?
I think I did.
Sure, yeah. Or
I can talk about my goals if you want. I think I'll put three of them on there.
Sure, real quick. That'd be great.
Okay, great. Let's see if I remember what they were. The first one was have a positive outcome for the county in all matters of litigation. And, of course, we have some very heavy and important matters pending right now, and I do have optimism about all of them. So that is our top-tier goal. Second goal is to finalize and publish the Josephine County Code, and that process is still, trucking right along. And so I'm optimistic that will be very readily reached in the near term. And finally, the third goal that I submitted was to gain the maximum amount of revenue from real property sales through our property management department. And so I think that's something we're looking at being able to achieve this year as well.
I just, people say, what do you want to do? I said, the first year I'd like to be there, first off, I have to learn. But the second part that I think is all important here is to improve Josephine County's image. I was down in the assessors, and Connie says, these are the two girls who work the front counter. Gosh, they're great, and we're doing this and we're doing that. And I says, I wouldn't know that. If I ran into you in the hallway, I have no clue that you work for the county. I already don't. He says, well, we used to have badges, but we don't. There's a lot of stuff that I'm hearing that we used to do that we don't do anymore. And I says, well, would you, are you embarrassed to say, tell anybody you work for the county? He says, well, no. And I said, why aren't you championing that? I don't know if we have like Friday when it's, what do you call that? It's casual Friday. If we got to get somebody down, how many employees are in this building?
120.
Find out what 120 t-shirts are and say, I work for Josephine County and I love it. Or something of that, and I'm proud of it, or something. County pride.
Proud to be the best is our logo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Incorporate something
motto.
In that.
Yeah. Motto,
something that they could wear every Friday to just set them apart. So if they're in Safeway supermarket and somebody says, hey, you work for county? Yeah, I do, and this is what I do. I don't think there's a lot of people that even know what the county does. Mm. Just improve the image of Josephine County. There's no reason for us to hang our head.
Not at all.
The city councilor asked me, he goes, is that really as bad over there as we think it is? And I says, you need to correct you. Mm. And he says, well, you know, is it, what's different between there and here? And I says, I've been there a month. I haven't been lied to yet. It's just awful. Mm. But I'm seeing that the people that are here, when people say, well, you know, what about the folks that are there? You know, are they competent? I says, all the bad stuff's gone, my friend. We've got the best of the best. If you and I did it in business one time, every payday I fired my worst employee. Every payday. If somebody's getting a slip on Friday, I don't care what you say. And it took me about three paydays, and I had the best crew money could buy. You know why? Nobody wanted to be the slowest man in the bear chase. They didn't want to, so they started overperforming. And by the time I had three people gone, three, I had the best crew that I could ever possibly have. Riding for the brand, bringing in the leads, making sure the jobs were done on time, making money for the company. Just something simple as that. I think we've already been there, and I think we need to start crowing about that. You know, yep. What you see left, by golly, you've got the best of the best. Because I'm very satisfied. Every place I've gone so far, I've been very satisfied.
So here's a comparison for you. Ventura County, California, operates two airports, similar to what we do. Have multiple prospects at both and all that kind of stuff. One of the airports has about 100 less people at it than we do, and the other one is a bit more. They have 30 staff operating those two airports, and we have two in comparison. I mean, we get a lot done comparatively.
We are moving forward in those with ideas for those airports. But if nothing gets done in the first year, in my mind, I don't have anything about, oh, yeah, I'm going to build a bridge. You know, public safety, to me, that's all of our problem. That problem is building wide. And I, you know, it's just like I told you, I was over at Julie's office, and everybody said, well, you know, the girls that go to the front counter, she said, you know you're an ambassador for the county. So when you step up there and you can't answer the question or you... It's tough. You got to bite the inside of your cheek every once in a while just to keep your mouth shut. But you know what? You're an ambassador. And I said, in the first opportunity everybody has to vote no is the Sheriff Daniels. And is that fair to your sheriff if you lost him some votes? That's the way everybody needs. Every transaction needs to be thought of in that sense. Every transaction. How can I make this thing? How can we get the sheriff his budget? How can we get the sheriff that levy? That's what we need to talk about. I plan to do it when I go to Public Works, and we're going to have a...
Excellent. And then customer service.
Company meeting, and I think, you know, combining, like we're talking about, with planning, building safety, and a Public Works element in that, fantastic.
Yeah.
Was it a walk-in and say, yep, what do we need?
No more running all over town. Right here in this building. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I agree.
I have one for you guys because I've heard it said twice today. Oh. Our current sheriff, Dave Daniel, the former sheriff, Dave Daniels, we had budget cuts, so we lost the nest.
I think he said that.
What did you just say?
Yes.
So the previous sheriff that had a similar name was Dave Daniels with an S. But we've had budget cuts. The current one lost his S, so we're just Dave Daniel.
Yeah, he's only one person. We had two of them before. They were the Daniels, and now we have. Yeah.
Yeah.
When are we discussing the marijuana?
I planned to write today, and I've got it mostly done.
It'd be a confidential memo. We could just discuss it. I don't think it's necessarily. Could we discuss if it's?
Sorry, I missed the print. I was thinking in terms of the. Of the ballot title and explanation.
Oh, no, he's got he refined the non-binding question really well last week. Just getting it put in on paper.
No.
But I was jumping different issues, and we have, and I think I'd mentioned this just high level, the county's been asked to be able to host, people have wanted to host cannabis-focused meetings, events on county land, either at our parks or our fairgrounds. So they're both dealing with this idea. I was inclined, because there are a lot of other counties around us who are endorsing that and permitting it, Wally has pointed out the potential liabilities that I think probably preclude us from being able to endorse without very specific elements being in that in the proposal, that we are in no way
hold harmless.
Yeah,
they have a THC fair at the Jackson County Expo.
Hold harmless.
They're providing cannabis items in that expo where there's.
We would say that you can't do that.
No.
If it were to go forward.
I don't mean to go off track here, but the smoke on the water thing out of Selmec.
That's what they're looking for.
I'm
really
concerned about that. Isn't that a county park?
It's being applied for, and the managers haven't issued a decision because one of them is mine, one is yours. I said, no, you can't do that quite yet. We've got to have a policy that the board understands. If you do, there can be no cannabis type of activities or all of that. What I think Wally wants is direction on researching that answer. Do you want him to say, to get us a policy that says no, you can't at all? Or if you're not endorsing or you have to meet these certain elements.
We can't host it.
We are not hosting it.
No, I mean, that's
on our property.
Very specific that the county is not the host of this event.
It's just on our property. And
we're still liable if a member of the public is exposed to something adversely on our properties because we allow something to happen.
To a degree, we let the fair happen, and there's stuff there that happens every year. But it's not with the intent that we're allowing it. We're not having a fair for marijuana exhibition. And that's our event.
Right.
We can't do that at ours. And yes, we would have liability. But letting somebody else have a rodeo and somebody exchanges meth, yeah, we're always going to have liability. But you got to prove that we didn't do everything we could to say it wasn't okay.
Yeah.
But when you go down the road of having a marijuana-focused thing, the likelihood, we just have to say, I don't really care what your focus is. It could be hemp, it could be cannabis, it could be whatever. You cannot have the transaction either for sale or for trade, consumption, of this event, or otherwise you're in breach of your contract, and that's what the contract needs to look like if we're going to allow it. If the board was say, we don't even want to go there, we don't even want to have a discussion about it, marijuana, cannabis-focused events are not allowed on county property, then that's the direction that
we
have to take.
Can we issue a fine if they're found to have breached that contract?
I think, think for a minute like a plaintiff's attorney is my suggestion, because that's exactly who would be coming after the county in a scenario of something went catastrophically wrong. And the plaintiff's attorneys have, in my estimation, a tool that's unique to a marijuana event that they wouldn't necessarily be useful to them if it were a beer event, a wine event, or just a fair, something like that. The memo tried to explain what that is. I can tell you what it is if you want to hear more about it. But basically, the plaintiff's attorney is always going to sue the county. They don't even need that great of an excuse.
No.
I mean, we're going to wind up on the D-line sooner or later. In a marijuana-themed event, this is just a recipe for paying a lot of money to somebody, if only to make them go away. So what is unique about a marijuana-themed event is that there is a little-known feature of the RICO law. We all know what RICO, that's what they go after the mafiosos with, right? And it's the racketeering, corrupt-influenced organizations law. It's been on the books for a long time at the federal level. There's a little-known feature of that that actually provides for a civil, not just criminal, but a civil remedy against persons who are theoretically engaged in a criminal conspiracy. Don't even have to be charged. Don't even have to be charged. So the county would not even have to be charged under RICO for a plaintiff's attorney to come after us on that basis and seek treble damages.
What are we leaving on the table? I mean, are we leaving $500,000 a year in revenue? If we're not leaving anything in revenue, so it's not worth it.
Well, and that's just it. They can have, for instance, this camping event. Who's to say there's not another family there that is not involved in that wanted to reserve a campsite over the event?
No, they schedule the whole thing. They work it out to where
okay.
It doesn't matter what event it is. It's Lake Selmec or the fairgrounds. They're renting the whole thing. The issue is exactly what I think you raised, Commissioner DeYoung. Is it worth a lawsuit over $3,500 for a weekend?
I'm saying no. When you look at it from that standpoint,
the potentiality of that gap for us it just, and our ability to cover it with either the law enforcement or park staff to ensure that we're going to have compliance by the event holder, the answer, the easy answer for me is just no. And there's other opportunities. They can get a mass gathering permit and put it on somebody else's property and let it be up to them.
You know, and I still think that although there's quite a few people that are in favor of the cannabis industry, there's a whole bunch of them that aren't. So when we put it, you know, and I thought that was, you know, very similar to when they said, yeah, they put that in the paper, you know, smoke on the water and all that other stuff. That's one of those things that says, okay, you're going to come back and say no, and we're going to be the bad guy. I think we come back and say no because of these reasons. We're going to be the good guy. We're going to show responsibility with exposure for the county by saying no. We just, you know, it's not, we don't want to go down that road. You know, maybe 10 years from now, they bring it back up and they say, yeah, you know, this whole thing settled out and they've got some class actions, some case study and stuff. But until then...
I agree. So what you're asking is for Councillor Hicks to codify our reasoning why we're saying no.
Sure.
Because I think you're right. People aren't going to read that no, but we need to provide...
I don't think cannabis is legally, should be legally allowed to be used on any public property.
Wouldn't matter. I don't think we're endorsing that it would. And
yeah.
I think even if we were to allow smoke on the water, it would be with the caveat that you're not allowed to smoke it, blah, blah, blah.
It's and you know what?
They
haven't followed any of the rules yet, so I don't think they're going to. So just that we don't even need to go down that path.
Yeah.
Just tell them no.
We have allowed stuff like similar Mystic Gardens in the past, and it has been challenging. It has been challenging. So
okay.
I think that's...
Do we ever get anything for a brew fest or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. And
so
we
that, and that's perfectly legal.
Different.
So
yeah.
We would endorse
OCC,
it.
OCC, and they monitor who it's distributed to.
Yeah. Well, the OCC is supposed to govern recreational. That's not necessarily it. It's the liability incurred because of the federal law on it, not who's regulating it. So
it's the plaintiff's attorneys we're worried about.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Okay. I have another appointment. I don't know if you guys...
I'll get something to you by tomorrow on kind of a short list of who I think we should invite you cross off.
You're not here tomorrow.
I trust whoever...
I can volunteer. Okay, well, if he wants to send me the list, I can say the Board of Commissioners invites you to a discussion.
Great.
We're all cool with that?
Yep.
Okay.
So where are we having it?
I'll be the messenger on that. Or you could be the messenger.
Right here.
As well.
So we have somewhat of a limitation as to how many people can be in here.
Well, that can never be our intent with holding a meeting here.
We always have to grow to accommodate who we're...
Yeah. I think we have the invited crew here, and that's the ones we're concentrating.
I'm looking at five?
I'm looking at five.
Okay.
Six, possibly.
It's the element of the open public meeting law. If you expect your crowd... If you were... There's an element in the open public meeting law, if I remember correctly, that if you're expecting there to be a certain number... You're supposed to try to find a facility that accommodates the expected crowd. I wouldn't either. We're not talking to them. And I don't expect anybody from there to be able to. It's just the five people
that
you guys.
And we want the appropriate staff member. I'll be looking to you for that.
Yeah, I really see the sheriff.
I'd love to have Arthur, you there, too,
Arthur,
if you're willing.
And Wally.
Yeah.
Arthur and Wally and
the sheriff.
Yeah.
I think that's
Does Jim need to be there?
I'll focus on that, Jim.
Okay.
We'll have kind of an itinerary.
Might be nice to invite him.
So
I think you should be invited.
Who's that?
Can I just verify our agenda tomorrow? We no longer have a 2 o'clock meeting. And was the one supposed to be at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, or is it supposed to be at 2 on Wednesday?
3.
Okay, so that's intentional to move it back an hour. Okay.
So you guys really don't have the general discussion tomorrow? That's my fault. There were a couple of items that could have been. I don't need to hear
Yeah, we have one at 9. Yeah, general discussion.
In the morning, it's the fire one.
Yeah.
The state fire marshals.
I don't. I'm all up to speed. So.
Are you going to be there for that?
I plan to be there for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have one other item.
Sure.
So one of the processes
Okay.
Thanks. Oregon Regulatory Project Application, Oregon Department of State Lands, wants feedback by the 17th. So one of the things that I kind of was talking to Wendy today about with new commissioners, it's one thing to get a binder that has laws and personnel policies and stuff like that, but as far as an orientation of kind of a physical orientation of, here's where your signature box is, here's, let's get your printer set up, there's a correspondence file. I learned of that last week for the first time. And today is the first time I've had a chance to get through it. So,
yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, there's stuff in there a month old that we didn't know to be looking for.
Right.
And so there's just a couple things that I think would be good to go through. One, what do we need to do when new commissioners are elected for the time between in here? If they're all of a sudden being included on meeting agendas and this and that, it needs to have a county email so it's not going to private email servers.
Why don't you make a list of these things?
Okay.
And we put them together. Believe it or not, it's come a long way. And
sure.
There's always room for improvement. I
just want to kind of have us on the same page while it's somewhat still fresh, not too far away.
Absolutely.
We're going to get so busy. But like this was one of those things.
I can't even think about.
For right now, we can kind of use the excuse that we're brand new.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long.
But to me, correspondence, and when I find one of the things in there is somebody expressing intent of a lawsuit, that needs to go straight to legal. It shouldn't be sitting in a book for a month. But this is one that it requires us to look up something because it has it references another site for us to give feedback to, and the deadline's the 17th, but it's stuck in a file. So
a lot of things we've given up in the years we used to sit down, respond to, go through all of our minutes and stuff. You can see my inbox. I respond to the squeaky wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to go through that, and I don't want to allocate the resources to hiring somebody to do it. There are a lot of counties where they don't go through their own email. Somebody else does that. I probably get sometimes 80 emails a day. I don't have time. So
I hear you. It does make me wonder though if we need to relook at our staff. And okay, we do some
staffing
things.
Staffing level
is one of them. Also, what are they doing? Some other agencies have a recording and they contract out the minutes portion for some meetings.
Into that.
And what is the best use of our folks that they are serving us to the best capacity and best use of time?
Right.
I think it'd be worth having that discussion and them at the table because they can give that feedback too.
Sure.
And anyhow, that's just one of those things that since you were liaison to that area,
yeah,
that I would like to talk about the goals for here as well.
Okay. I think it's good to keep a list of things that you are coming up or issues and stuff.
Okay.
So it can get overwhelming, I think, and that's probably where I'm at right now is getting to everything that we're supposed to do, and it isn't perfect, and I don't think my aspiration is for perfection. It's that I'm totally into trying to make it better and easier, and we have had made progress just recently trying to reduce the amount of minutes that they're spending time
mm-hmm.
on. But every time we get together, they are working on that record, and that takes time. So.
Well, and because of it, we have a window that sat empty for 2 hours, and is that the best service to the public, or do we need staffing? Yep. So it's just worth the conversation.
Absolutely.
And it's not, I want to make clear, it's not an indication of a shortcoming of our staff.
No.
It's us giving the direction of what is our expectation. So.
Yeah.
If I talk less at a meeting, it would be better.
Yeah, there was a commissioner in Douglas County who said, never miss a good opportunity to keep your mouth shut. That's what he would say to new commissioners, and he is one. So he's a former state legislator. They have a...
Yeah, 15 minutes.
They like to talk. All right, we'll see you later. Good luck tomorrow. Meeting's adjourned at 3:35.